why oil prices are high. As promised, we're going to chat about that. And our guest has arrived, James R. Norman, author, Global Economics Warfare in the 21st Century. It's called The Oil Card. 800-556-2012. You can call a publisher directly and get that. You can also go to Amazon.com, or any good bookstore should have it. And you're going to want to check out, write this down, energycreditmonitor.com. That's energycreditmonitor.com. And take a look at what Jim's got going. Jim, thank you very much for taking the time today and joining us. How are you doing?
Good. Nice to talk with you, Kevin.
Yeah. Now, I got to tell you, before the break, we did an intro about who and what you are, and you are still writing for the Oilgram News. And I see that one of the things that, you know, you really don't, you don't fall into the trap of supply and demand is the reason for high oil costs. You really think that it is collusion, and there's a plan here.
Yeah, actually, I come at this whole thing from a direction that almost nobody else has looked at. My argument is that the only way to understand these ridiculously high oil prices is as a phenomenon of economic warfare. And in that sense, both supply and demand and the market activity are both, you can manage both of those to achieve the goal. So they're both related. It's not one or the other.
Okay. So obviously, supply and demand has an effect. There's nothing, nobody can stop that. But you're saying that that's not the primary situation here?
Well, what I'm saying is that if you're the U.S. government and you want to move oil prices up as a geopolitical weapon against China, you can basically hold down supply, maintain demand, and then change the regulations so that you can move large amounts of money into the futures market that will just run the price to the moon if you want. So it's not impossible to manipulate oil prices on a grand scale. And the point of the book is that we did this before in reverse against the Russians in the 1980s. So there's nothing new about this. The mechanisms are known. We've done it before, and it was exceedingly successful in breaking the Soviet Union.
So you think, well, okay, so we're talking about two different things here. I think it's interesting about the Soviet Union connection driving the one ability that they really had as a natural resource to save their economy and to not go bankrupt, basically, which would be able to stabilize their country and their power base. We pulled that out from underneath them, you're saying.
That's right. The only means that the Russians, I should say the Soviets, really had to raise hard currency was to sell, export crude oil and other raw materials. And in the 1980s, when Ronald Reagan took office, the U.S. embarked on a concerted effort to drive down world oil prices. And we did. We succeeded immensely. The price went from like $40 a barrel in the early 80s down to the low teens. And we held it there for like a decade. Mm-hmm. And this is all quite well documented. People have gone back and, you know, looked at the national security records and stuff from that period. There was a concerted effort there. We basically brought the Saudis on board. They flooded the market with oil. The oil majors were overproducing oil. And at that same time, that's when the NYMEX, the New York Mercantile Exchange, came into existence. And that, in the 80s, was characterized by this flood of short selling. In other words, there was like a torrent of paper barrels that got thrown on the market, and it drove the price down.
Now, so, there's a big issue with shorts right now. There's millions and millions of shares they project of shorts right now, correct?
Well, that's shares. You're talking shares of stock, particularly.
No,
I
know that. I'm not talking about the commodity end of it. I'm actually talking about the stock market. And do you think? And I'm not trying to change gears here, but I think that that's having this selling fictional shares, fictional things, if you will, is very detrimental in almost any economy.
It can be, and it's quite it's easily regulated by the government. You see, the government has recently stepped in, blocked the selling of unborrowed shorts shares, particularly on banking stocks. And banking and financial institutions figure very keenly into the whole notion of economic warfare.
Okay, so as relates to with Russia, can you explain it exactly what happened with these shorts?
On the NYMEX in the 1980s?
Yes.
Yeah, what happened was the NYMEX Until 1983, when the NYMEX began trading oil futures contracts, oil prices were set by physical oil traders doing deals to each other, and then people like Platts would call them up and ask them, say, well, what'd you price the deal at? And they would publish a daily price. In 83, the NYMEX started trading, and it was a futures market where you could publicly see what people were paying for oil for future delivery. By futures, it's like a few weeks or months out.
Right.
So it became a public market. But the thing about that is it's a financially settled market. So you didn't have to produce oil or take physical oil. You could buy and sell crude oil just on paper. You could settle it financially. And so you could have people who didn't really have oil selling lots of barrels on the market. And that's what happened. What happened was there was a barrage of this short selling of barrels on the oil market, which pushed down the physical price. So you were able to drive the physical price of oil down by paper trading on the NYMEX, which is exactly the reverse of what you have now. I mean, there is a torrent of paper buying of barrels of oil on the NYMEX, which pushes the price up and up and up. And it really has completely decoupled oil prices from the actual physical supply and demand for wet barrels.
So back in the 80s, late 80s, early 80s, excuse me, why do you think that we did that to Russia? What was our number one goal?
Well, you know, in the modern age, wars don't get fought with guns and bombs, not when it's the big guys up against each other. The modus operandi now is economic warfare. And what happened in the 80s, we just put on a full-court press to get rid of the Soviet Union, because I think we realized they were weak, that they were vulnerable, and we could collapse them if we put enough pressure on them. And the key thing was to take away their ability to earn hard currency. So we drove down the price of oil, we drove down the price of gold, and that really destroyed the Soviet Union. The way it happened was, by the end of the 1980s, Gorbachev needed $100 billion to borrow in order to buy wheat to feed the Russian people. Mm-hmm. That $100 billion he needed, he had to go to the Western government to borrow it. And the strings attached said, okay, we'll lend you the money, but you can't send your armies into Eastern Europe when those countries rise up in democratic rebellion. That $100 billion equates almost exactly to the amount of revenue that we took away from them on oil and natural gas in the 1980s. So you could draw a direct correlation between the impact of the oil price war against the Soviets and the collapse of the Soviet Union when they lost Eastern Europe. Then they went bust finally in 1991, completely ran out of money, turned off the lights, went away, not a shot fired. It was a tremendous victory that people really don't understand how it happened or how significant that was.
Folks, you're listening to News Radio Magazine. Joining us, James Norman, The Oil Card, Global Economic Warfare in the 21st Century. More when we get back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Operation Homefront provides emergency services and morale to our troops, to the families they leave behind, and to wounded warriors when they return home. Many military families and young mothers are often relocating their children and households alone, while their service member is deployed to a combat zone. Find out how you can help these military families and ease the minds of our deployed troops. Visit OperationHomefrontWashington.com. That's OperationHomefrontWashington.com.
Added Dimensions is your place to call for your kitchen and bathroom remodel. They have over 20 years' experience in affordable kitchen and bathroom remodels. It's the only call you need to make to get your project started and completed with attention to quality. Hear what every previous client will tell you. Call Mike and get it done right. That's Added Dimensions, 866-599-5169, and ask for Mike. Just one call, and they do it all. 866-599-5169.